How you guys doing? I'm not gonna lie, that's pretty lame for the summer. Pretty lame. Woo! It's a holiday weekend, right? Hopefully you're not working tomorrow, maybe? Day off? That's awesome. Matt, thanks for sharing your slice with us. It's just so encouraging to hear God working in your life and knowing your story and hearing how he's moved all along the way. It's a testament to him and what he's done. And thanks for sharing that with us. Appreciate it. Well, I'm excited to be here this morning. I'm excited about this sermon series we're doing, Mystery Revealed, because I think that it's going to be so good for us as a church, and especially now as we are getting ready to head into the fall and do an official H2O City congregation launch. There's some woos. Okay. Waking up a little. Summertime. So in this series, we're looking at how God has revealed his plan of redemption, completion, and purpose in Christ Jesus. He has revealed these mysteries. And we're going to be doing that by reading through the book of Ephesians. And today we're going to be reading Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And we're going to be looking at how this is a passage where Paul lays out the mystery of new life. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. But before we jump in, let's pray. God, thanks for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, to set aside all the other stuff we have going on and turn our attention to you and worship you and hear from you. And we pray this morning that your spirit would speak through this passage and that we would really hear from you about this new life that's been revealed in Jesus. We pray you'd help each one of us know what it looks like for us to apply that to our lives. We pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, well, when we read through these verses, we're going to see that there are really three different parts to this mystery of new life. And the first part is the first three verses. Verse 1 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." Well, last week, Aziz talked about the passage that came just before us, just before this. And if you remember, it was a prayer for the Ephesians. And basically, Paul was praying that the Ephesians would really know God. And he prayed for three specific things. And the last one was that they would grasp God's power at work in their lives. And he actually went on and on for like five verses talking about how amazing God's power really was. And so this here is a huge contrast, right? Paul says, God has great power, but as for you, you're dead. You were dead. Spiritually dead, totally cut off from God, powerless, and destined for destruction. This is a fundamental reality for all people. In John, it says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them." In 1 John, it says, "Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." Without Jesus, we're dead. If we look back at that passage, we see why. Verse 1 said, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." Sin is the reason they were dead. The result of sin is death. In James, says, "Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death." Sin gives birth to death. If we look back at that passage again, in verse 3, it says, "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts." all of us. We were dead because of our sins, every one of us. And Paul says this elsewhere really clearly in Romans 5. He says, sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. And if we look back at verse 3 again, the second part of it, it says, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. We deserved God's wrath. Again, in Romans, Paul says the wages of sin is death. Wages are something that we earn. So he's saying we have all earned death with our sin, and that's exactly what we deserve. So that's the first part of this mystery of new life. We were dead because of our sins, every one of us, and that's what we deserved. Let's move on to the second part. I know that's a pretty light way to start your sermon, right? You're dead. All right, verse 4 through 9 says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed to us in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Okay, so this is the gospel in one sentence, right? You were dead, but God made you alive. This is great news, right? But in order for us to really get it, in order for that to change us, we have to know how. And that's what Paul talks about in this, the passage that we just read. God makes us alive in Christ. Look back at that passage. You see some things repeated over and over. With Christ, with him. In Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. We're made alive by being in Christ Jesus. So how does that happen? He explains that in verses 8 and 9. For as by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. It's by grace alone, through faith alone. So what does it mean that we're in Christ by grace alone? Well, grace is undeserved favor. It has absolutely nothing to do with us or our performance. In fact, if it did have anything to do with it, it'd be in spite of our performance, not because of it. We read that passage, we see it's not of ourselves, it's of God. It's not of works. It's a gift. What does it mean then that we're in Christ by faith alone? It's not through anything we could do. It's not through doing good. It's not through not doing bad. It's only through faith in Jesus to save us. Jesus came to earth, lived a sinless life. He died on the cross in our place, paying the penalty of our sin. And he rose from the grave 3 days later, so that we could have a restored relationship with God if we trust in him and who he is and what he did to save us. We will be saved. So some of you may wonder why, right? We're talking, this is mystery revealed. Some of you may wonder, why is this the way that God decided to do this, right? That's sort of a mystery. That's a mystery we still have questions about. And to some degree, I guess we may not ever know all the answers to that, but I think we do know a few things. One, this way makes it absolutely clear who we are and who God is. By grace alone, through faith in Jesus alone, makes it clear that on our own, we are dead. We're helpless. And what we've earned is death. but it also makes it crystal clear that God is a loving, giving, saving God. If you look back at that passage, you're going to see some phrases, because of his great love for us, because of the richness of his mercy, because of the incomparable riches of his grace, because of his kindness. Those are some amazing things that we see displayed in Jesus. And not only does he show us that this is what God is like, but it shows us that God wanted to communicate those things to us. He did it this way to show us his love and mercy and our need. He did it to express those things. If you think about love, right? Love that's not expressed versus love that is. God is love, and that means he expresses it in action. He expressed it in Jesus. In Christ, God has gone to great lengths to express his love to us. So that's the second part of this mystery of new life that God's revealing through Jesus. We were dead because of our sins, every one of us, and we deserved it. But God made us alive in Christ by grace alone and through faith alone. Okay, so there's one more verse, one more part to this new life. Verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are God's handiwork. Other translations say craftsmanship. We just saw that our new life in Christ has nothing to do with our work. This verse shows us it has everything to do with God's work. And then if we look back at that verse again, we see it say, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The ESV says, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I really like that because it highlights sort of what Paul's trying to communicate in this passage really well. It means that God does this work. It's a work he prepared and he's doing. The work is his. So we're a special work of God that he has prepared to do good works through. He has a specific purpose for each one of us, and it's good and meaningful and significant. But then it also highlights our role in that. And our role is to walk in these good works. Will we in faith walk where he's prepared for us to walk? It will take faith, being led by the Holy Spirit, sacrificing to follow God's leading, even asking him, what is his leading? What has he prepared for us? So that's the last part of this mystery. We're a special work of God he's prepared to do good works through if we'll walk in them. So that's it, summed up into three easy parts. We were dead because of sin, every one of it, we deserved it. But God made us alive by grace alone, through faith alone, and we're a special work in Christ that God is prepared to do good works through if we'll walk in them. So what does that mean for us today? I think there's three things that we need to embrace as a result of this mystery revealed in Christ. The first thing I think we need to embrace is that our true reality without Christ really is death. We were dead. When we embrace that, it affects everything in our lives because it affects our attitude. We live in a culture of entitlement, right? we're bombarded with the message that we deserve more and better and bigger. If you work hard, you're entitled to a good payout. But that's a trap, and it will breed discontentment in your life. We only have what we have because it's been given to us, right? We didn't earn our life. God gave it to us. We didn't earn our ability to think. God gave that to us. Anything we have has been given. Then we take that, sure, and we use it. We don't get to take credit for it. It's all on loan from God. What we are entitled to, what we have earned, is death. Excuse me. So what does this look like in a church that has a culture of entitlement? Well, there's probably a lot of things. Excuse me. I got the holiday frog in my throat from, never mind. You guys don't know about the holiday frog? It's gone. Don't worry about it. Okay, the first thing I think it looks like is selfishness. We're too consumed by ourselves to think about other people. I think it also leads to boredom in our life. God has created us to do good works that he's prepared in advance for us to do, that we would be engaged in this grand mission with him. And when we're not engaged in that, it's not satisfying. The result, we feel bored, complacent. Isn't there more than just this? But when we engage with that good work God's prepared for us, I really believe we come alive, because that's what we've been created for. The last thing I'll just note is complaining. We're consumed with all the stuff that we should be given, and it's not happening. It seems like an injustice, like we should complain about this. Okay, but on the flip side, a church that's embraced, this is our true reality. We deserve death. It's marked by people who think about other people instead of themselves, because they're freed up to do that. We don't have to worry about ourselves. It's marked by people who are engaged and excited about God and what he's doing in their lives and what he's doing in the world around them. It's marked by people who give thanks rather than complain. It's marked by people who have real joy that's not depending on the circumstances of life. Doesn't that sound good? That's what we dream of, right? We dream of experiencing those things. Well, I think the key to experiencing those is remembering what's true of us apart from Jesus. And I wonder, is that the attitude in your life? Okay, the second thing I think we need to embrace is new life in Christ by grace through faith. I wonder, is there any work or deed or accomplishment that you're trusting in, that you're putting your hope in? Success or performance, maybe having it all together, coming to church or a city life group or a group on campus. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. And I wonder, have you embraced that? If you haven't, why not? What would hold you back? And then think about that. Take it seriously. If it's true, it's the most important thing you can wrestle with, spend your energy and your focus on. And if it's not, then you can move on. If you have embraced that, are you engaged with the reality of how much Jesus loves you? Maybe we just need to take those verses out and think about how they show God's heart for us, expressed toward us. All right, then the final thing to embrace is the good work that God's prepared for us to walk in. If you are in Christ, you are a special work of God that he's prepared to do good works through. What works has God prepared for you to do? Do you know what those are? Are you asking him what those are, trying to discover what those are? Will you walk in them? Guys, this fall, we're about to launch this city congregation and the service. And I wholeheartedly believe that if you're here and you're in the city, God has you here for a reason. And the reason isn't to spectate or consume or to be entitled to an entertaining Sunday service or a sweet, good-looking hipster building that we got for free or a comfortable city life group that meets all of your needs. You have been raised to new life for good works. Some of you are going to love on college students. Mentor them and disciple them. Some of you are going to love little kids that we get the honor of having with us this morning. You're going to love on them and teach them about God and Jesus. Some of you are going to lead us in worship or welcome visitors when they come in here. Or you're going to lead the charge in getting out there and serving our community, engaging with them. Or you're going to reach out to a coworker and love them and get to know them, invite them into our community, maybe share the gospel with them. What is that good work for you? I don't know what it is, but I think there's a lot of good works that God is preparing for us to do. He's been moving and opening the door for H2O City, this congregation. We think he's doing some amazing things. What is it for you? If you're not in the city, what is it for you? You're on campus. What's the good work that God's preparing you for? What are you passionate about and gifted for? All right, well, I wanted to end this morning with a video. So we're going to play that, and then I'll come back up after and wrap us up. Well, I thought that was good because spiritually, that's us, right? We are still alive, but we're dead. Death is coming. And it's offered to us in Jesus. New life is offered to us. And I love how she's talking about everything before she was just consumed with, how can I have life, right? And then she got this transplant. And she was like, well, then I started thinking, well, what am I going to do? Like, what do I do now? I'm alive. I guess I could do something. Go to college. Tell other people. I love that because I think that's the question for us. If we're in Christ, well, now what? What are we going to do now? I think that's every single one of us. Well, this morning, we wanted to have a time to just remember Jesus. We're going to celebrate communion. This mystery of new life is revealed to us in Jesus and through him. He is the center of it all. And that's what communion is about, is remembering Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." When we celebrate communion, we remember Jesus, his death on the cross in our place, paying the penalty of our sin. And we remember his body that was broken for us and his blood that was shed for us. If you're here this morning and you haven't trusted in Jesus or you're still figuring out what do you believe, that's awesome. We're excited and honored that you're here. But don't worry about coming up, taking communion. Instead, consider Jesus' offer of new life, his offer to believe in him, to trust in him, in him alone, by grace through faith. That offer still stands right now this morning. Consider that as we celebrate communion this morning. Well, in just a minute, I'm going to pray here, and then the band is going to come up and play some songs. And as they do, when you're ready, feel free to come on up the middle, form two lines if you can, and take the bread and dip it in the juice, and take that, remembering Jesus, celebrating him. If you're looking for gluten-free stuff, it's right here on this side. Let's pray and celebrate together. God, we thank you so much that you have offered us new life, that new life is no longer a mystery to us because it's been revealed to us in Jesus. God, you love us. You died for us that we could be in a restored relationship with you, that we could have new life. And I pray that you'd help us to embrace these realities, that without you, we're dead, without hope. God, but you made us alive in Christ by grace through faith in Jesus, through what he did for us. And we want to remember you this morning. And I pray that you'd help us engage with that new life that we have. I pray you'd help us know what is the good work you've called us to do. Now that we have life, what are we going to do with it? God, you're so good to us and so loving to us. We can't compare your love or your grace or your kindness or your mercy. We just want to remember that it's all because of Jesus. We want to remember him this morning. We pray you help us to do that. We pray this in your name. Amen.